to another coach, and it's great to see you guys here. Let me just ask you guys to join me in prayer again as we enter into the message time. God, we just sung some amazing things to you from an honest heart. God, we've declared our trust, our worship. We've declared your majesty. Your sovereignty, your beauty. And God, we're singing to you to eternity. Because you are worthy. We want to worship you. We thank you for the chance to come together tonight as a group and to tell your presence. Now, God, we invite you to calm our hearts. God, if there are distractions, maybe bombarding us, God, give us an honest heart before you to hear your word, to understand scripture, and the very teaching of your spirit. God, help me to speak the things that you put on my heart. Praise Christ. Amen. Here, we're continuing this little mini series, Identity, Who Am I? And, as I thought about that question, we can answer that in a variety of ways. But as I was preparing this week, one of the clear ways that God shaped me happened years ago. And pretty profound experience, and pretty hard thing for our family, for my family. When I was 15, my family and I were out on Navajo Lake. We lived up in Farmington, out on the lake. The seas were there, big lake. We were water skiing. Beautiful day, few clouds in the sky, nothing, no storms, there's just blue skies, and the typical New Mexico. At one point, we had stopped the boat to change the skiers, and the next thing I knew, I woke up laying on the floor of the boat. And I couldn't move. I realized that the reason I couldn't move was because my brother, Randy, was 4 years older than me. He was 19. He was right on top of me. He had been struck by lightning and was killed instantly. And I was knocked out by the same lightning bolt. The family wasn't, of course, was not the closest. There's no way. But even worse, we certainly weren't spiritually protected. We were not a Christ following family. We weren't living to honor the Lord. My mom was a believer. My stepdad wasn't. Randy was. He was a believer. He had in fact just recently trusted Christ that's been before. He found out. I didn't realize until later, looking back, how astounding God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness was for us. In so many ways, I couldn't see a thing. I was a 15-year-old boy who couldn't even express what was going on in his heart. I was numb. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. Nobody in our family talked about it. One of the greatest expressions of the church that I've ever seen in my life happened over and over when one of the local pastors of one of the Baptist churches there made it a habit to come to our door and knock uninvited, and we ask for permission to care for us. What good is my mom invited that? She welcomed that. But my stepdad, and if that pastor came back time after time, and I would see him sitting out of the room, talking to my mom and my stepdad. And as I spent the last 40 years of my life in ministry, I thought, those people cared for a family that didn't care for themselves. I've seen God's provision amazingly. Yeah, it was horrible. Randy's birthday was this past Monday, February 10th. Can you imagine, you know, what he would be doing and where he would be and his family would... We missed him, of course. But again, I would say, I and my family have experienced the mercy and the provision of God in profound ways, and in some ways, inexpressible ways. God's wisdom is majestic, His insight is boundless. He understands what we don't even begin to comprehend. His purposes are beyond us. The mystery, it really is. Why thank God? But I have tasted, as have you, in your own very personal ways, have tasted the mercy of God. Even in that horrific experience, tasted the mercy of God. It's abundant. His providence is unfathomable. God is a good provider. We need to hear that. God is a good provider, even in tragedy. In the worst of times, God is marvelously merciful. Who am I? Well, one way I would answer that is I am one who has seen the Lord provide. And that's our theme tonight. Identity. Who am I? We want to talk about God's provision. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we're still there. I promise this is the last week in Ephesians 2. The phrase, let me just read the verse to you if you don't have it there. If you'd like to have a Bible, we're hanging out here. If you just notify them, they'll be glad to get you a Bible so you can follow along tonight. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I hope after we've done this, this is the third sermon on this verse, I hope everybody here has got it memorized. And if not, I hope you're working on it. It's a deep verse. It's a deep verse. You know, the first week we spoke from this, we talked about God's poetry, for God's workmanship. Remember that? Masterpiece. The very word in Greek is poema. It's where we get our word poem. You are God's poem. And you probably rhyme in a beautiful, marvelous way, in a unique way. We're God's poetry. Last week we talked about God's plan. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Created in Christ Jesus. Remember we talked about before Christ I was a mess. In Christ I'm different. And now through Christ I can make a difference. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. To do good works. And tonight, which God prepared in advance, God's provision, God's foresight, His knowledge, His awareness,
that God prepared in advance for us to do. We can't study this verse without considering, at least on a simple level, the sovereignty of God. We use that phrase, and we don't have an intuitive understanding of it, and we certainly don't have time to go into great length in describing it and discussing it, but let me put it in a simple phrase. The sovereignty of God is everything that needs to happen, God sees that it happens. Can I even come close to explaining why God would see that a lightning bolt would come out of a clear sky and took my brother's life like that? No, I can't. And I haven't even tried. I haven't even begun to try. But everything that needs to happen, God has the ability, the authority, and the sovereignty to see that it happens. Not only does he choose the best possible plan, he has the power to pull it off. That's the sovereignty of God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. There's this dependence that we live in under the marvelous, gracious, merciful, abundant sovereignty of God. It's a warm place to be. As hard as it is to understand, it's a warm place to be. It's one of the most delightful declarations of God's provision. So tonight, if I can make this simple, I'm going to give it my best shot. Let's talk about God's provision, especially in the context of who are we. How does this help define who we are when we talk about God's provision? I want to break it into two sections. One having to do with God's role, and the other having to do with my role. What's God's role? What's my role when it comes to being God preparing in advance for us to do good works? Again, phrase, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were created to make a difference. And God has put us in a path, in a spot, in a place, in a life that allows us to literally accomplish what we were created for. This thing I would say to you, that you've got it here, and I know you know this, but this would be one to write down. God is not a spectator. He's not. God is not a spectator. I would say this. He's always there. He's always aware. He's always prepared. He's always ready. The first sermon of the semester, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, the last thing he says, go make disciples, and at the very end he says, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. God is always there. That's a great expression of God's sovereignty. He's not a spectator. He is present. He's there with you all the time. He's also always aware. Not only is he always there, he's omnipresent, is the word, but he's also always aware. He knows everything. David declared it in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4, when he said, oh Lord, you search me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. He's not exaggerating. He's not exaggerating. He's declaring truth. God is always aware. He's not a spectator. He's very much engaged. He knows how we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're doing. He knows what's going on around us. He's always there, and he's always aware, and he's always prepared. He's always prepared. He's able. He's capable. Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has plans. for you. God has planned for me. How in the world did Randy death play out as part of God's plan for me? I don't have time to tell you how marvelous, how beautiful God has worked his plan in my life and in my family's life through that tragic event. God knows the plans he has for you. Do you hope in the future? God's always prepared. And I'd say one other. Not only is he always there, he's always aware, he's always prepared, but he has all authority. Remember again in Matthew 28, he started the whole Great Commission in verse 18, and he said, all Jesus declared, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has all power, all authority. God always has the right and the power to do whatever he wants. He does. Which is why he can very profoundly declare in Ephesians 2:10, I created you to do good works which I have prepared in advance. I have the power, the knowledge, I'm able to do that. Sovereignty. And so, again, maybe it's kind of simple roles. I'll help to maybe at least give an introductory idea of how God does that. What is God's role in preparing in advance those good works? First thing I would say is God opens doors. We use that phrase. We even pray that sometimes. God opens doors. Paul said in Colossians 4:3, he said, pray for us that God would open the door for our message. God opens doors. We see that. He opens doors for us, for you and me, to do good works. He's prepared them in advance, and he provides a way. And it's kind of serendipitous almost sometimes when we stop and realize, wow, God did that. And sometimes we don't even see it. Because for whatever reason, maybe we're distracted. But there are times, I bet you every one of us has found ourselves in awe of God's majestic sovereignty when he opens the door for a witness, opens the door for an opportunity to serve, opens the door for influence, opens the door even to be served, opens the door for employment, opens the door in relationships. God prepares the way. He prepares in advance. And one of the ways he does that is he opens doors and ordains circumstances. I said this before, some of you have heard this, but every time you share the gospel, every time, no matter where you are, every time you share the gospel, God got there first. You know? He did it. It's not a rose. But God is always ahead of us. Every time you've shared the gospel on campus, or you're being trained in campus evangelism, or you're training others, or every time you've shared with a roommate or a friend or a family member, or in any other kind of spontaneous setting, God got there first. He opened the door. He opened the door. In fact, your story is an open door story. If in fact you come to the point in your life where you have indeed trusted Christ, the only reason you have is because God opened the door for someone else to have that influence on you. Which leads to the second point. Not only does God open doors, God opens hearts. Doesn't he? God opens hearts. Because sometimes there's open doors, not just in witnessing, but any kind of influence or opportunity to serve and magnify the name of the Lord by loving others, by reconciling with friends, by whatever that would be. Often, God not only opens the door, but he softens hearts. He opens hearts. You know, Acts 16:14, the key clear verse where God simply declares that, says the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. That's what he did to me. What did you do? Not only did you open the door for the message, but you opened my heart to respond to the message. This is beautiful. How did you do that? How did you do that? Let me just, again, at the risk of being too simple, let me just say that it's by the power of God's Spirit. By the power of God's Spirit working in you and in others. God empowers us with His Spirit. That's the way He opens doors. That's the way He opens hearts. The Spirit of God literally works in the lives of the lost and the saved. He does. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses." You'll receive power. John 14:26 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, teach you everything, and remind you all these things that I've taught you." It's the work of God's Spirit. The way God opens doors and opens hearts is by the moving and working of His Spirit in the life of the believer. God's role opens doors. He opens hearts. He provides us with everything we need to fulfill His purpose. He created us in Christ Jesus to do good works. You prepare them in advance for us. He provides everything we need to do good works. We're not talking about your salvation. Remember, I think this isn't about salvation. He didn't say, do good works to be saved. No, He said, you're God's witnesses. You've received Christ. You're His poetry. Now I've got a plan for you to make a difference, and He's prepared a way for you to do that. Now go do it. That's really what the idea is. Well, if that's God's role, what's my role? What's my role? Again, I'm not a spectator either. Neither are you. Even though we might have a tendency to be, even though we might have a tendency to want to be, we were not created, we were not intended to be spectators, were we? Nuh-uh. We were meant to be participants. We're followers. We're servants, workers, team players. We're disciples, not spectators. There's no room in the kingdom of God for spectators. There's just not. He's included everyone, all of His followers, in that role of following Him and bearing fruit for His sake. He prepares good works in advance. Why? At the very end of the verse, in verse 10, to do them. Simple. To do them. No spectators. So God opens hearts, He opens doors, He fills us with the Spirit. So therefore, what's my role? Again, simple. If God opens doors and opens hearts, what do? We open hands and we open our mouths. Open hands, open mouths, okay? I open my hands. It's metaphorical, but it's this idea of I let go. I let go. I let go of my hopes, my dreams, my control. I give my life to God. It's that classic phrase we see through the New Testament. I die to myself. I take up my cross. I empty myself. I open my hands and I give my life to God. What's my role? Give it up. Give it up. No closed fists. No grips. And the things that I've got to hold on to. It's a freedom thing, but it's also a great submission thing. I choose to obey. I gladly serve. I boldly submit. I faithfully follow. I gladly give. I courageously go. I trust God. My role, open my hands. Open my hands. Why? To do good work. To let God use me in that way. I will hold nothing back. I'll open my hands. My life is His. That's my role. That's your role. Second one, I open my mouth. If God opens doors and opens hearts, someone's got to talk. It's us. If God opens doors, then he does, doesn't he? And God opens hearts to hear the gospel, we have to be those who are willing to open our mouths and hear. So I declare out of my mouth, I declare in faith God's power, his majesty, his praise, his goodness, his salvation to the ends of the earth. I praise his name. I make his name known. That's my job. In the same way that I am not a spectator, I also refuse to be silent. I'm not going to withhold. I refuse to hold back. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about him. He's done marvelous things, not only in my life, but in all of history. He continues to do that. I'm going to open my mouth. My God, open my mouth. Prepare in faith. Influence people. The other way I'm going to open my mouth is I'm going to pray in faith. I'm going to declare in faith, and I'm also going to pray in faith. I'm going to pray that God would move among the lost. I'm going to plead with God for those who are suffering, for those who are persecuted. I'm going to intercede for my friends and my family. I'm going to open my mouth. Again, I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to commit the sin of failing to pray. I'm going to seek to influence with what I say and how I say it, with kindness, with persuasion, with genuineness, with authenticity, with love. But I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak truth. And I'm also going to pray. In the power of God's Spirit, who's working in me, as we just said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to do just immense, unimaginable, incomprehensible things around me. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to open my hands, I'm going to open my mouth. For my role, yeah, I trust God. God's role, open doors, open hearts. My role, your role, the hands, open mouth. So, how am I identified? God's poetry, God's plan, God's provision. Maybe an angel heart paraphrase of Rich Kinney. I'm God's workmanship, saved by the grace of God. Do good work, which God prepared in advance. If you trust the cross, that's you. And God's workmanship, saved by the grace of God, not by your own effort, not by showing up for Christmas, not by being baptized, not anything you can do, saved by the grace of God, prepared in faith in Jesus, created in Christ Jesus. To do good work. To do good works. And that's, man, as creative as you can be. Opportunities abound to serve the Lord and serve people in good ways. I didn't myself have an opportunity to participate in this, but I so enjoyed the little bit of social media chatter that came from the night to film. Some of you know about that. A couple of churches in town pulled off a big party, a big formal dance to people with special needs. The Tim Tebow Foundation effort that goes on all around the world, and Las Cruces got in on it this year. The stories that came from that were just incredible. Just incredible. The opportunity that was left, individuals, families, it's things like that, but it's also just common everyday spontaneous good works. Let the room down, letting him use us to honor him and to love people, to advance the kingdom. We know that. We know that. God's already working. We get that. He's sovereign.
really, the challenge tonight is we can join Him. We can join Him. He's already working. Let's get in a posture of readiness. Let's get in a posture of readiness so that when the door opens, we're not surprised. Let's join Him. Let's join Him. So many of us. So many of you are so great at that, and you're even too challenged through the ministry here and through your churches. It's amazing. But we also understand, and I get this, that we have this natural tendency to kind of maybe toe the line of being a spectator. No, let's just lean forward. Let's lean forward. Open our hands. Let go. Open our mouths. Serve. Make the most of every opportunity. God, we're astounded at what you can do to broken people. God, we're astounded at what you can do to tragic circumstances. But God, there's not a person in this room who hasn't witnessed your majesty, your sovereignty, your goodness, your work. There's not one of us in this room who hasn't seen you open doors and open hearts. God, we want to join you in opening our hands and opening our mouths to be your people in this place. Do good works, to bear fruit that lasts, to honor you in the way we live, to bring you praise and honor among all the peoples of the next state and all the peoples of the earth. God, thank you. Thank you for your sovereign grace, for your sovereign power, your authority, your promise to always be there. We'll trust you, God. Help us open our hands. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.